Does anybody know? Raise your hand. Does anybody know what book of the Bible we're working on this year in ABC Kids? It's the only book we're going to be in the whole school year. New Testament, correct. But what book specifically in the New Testament? Yes, we're in the Bible. We're in the New Testament. Andrew? Matthew, excellent. The Gospel according to Matthew. Okay. You could call it a biography of Jesus, okay? It doesn't say every single thing he did or said, but it records truthfully the things that Matthew wrote down that he saw that Jesus did and said. Okay? And since I'm the big review guy, let's review a little bit. The first lesson, anybody remember who the first lesson was teaching? Who was teaching the first lesson? Me. It was me. Chapter 1 of Matthew. And we learned about Jesus' family tree. It's called the genealogies, okay? And it had to do with God keeping promises he made to Abraham and to David, okay? How Jesus was going to be in the line of David's family tree, okay? And he would be the one that would bless the whole world, a promise made to Abraham, okay? And then I think Mr. Ryan had the second week, and that was chapter 2, and that was around the time of the Christmas story of Jesus' birth, okay? And there were some people who weren't so happy that Jesus was born, okay? And they were going to try to hurt him, okay? King Herod. So where did Jesus' family flee to get away from that bad guy who was trying to harm him? Where did they run off to get to escape? Anybody remember? Huh? No, they didn't go to the temple. They went to a different country. Ian? Yes, they went to Egypt. And if I was better prepared, I would have a nice map up here and I could show you the Holy Land and I could show you where the Mediterranean Sea is in Egypt. But they did. They went to Egypt, okay? And that happened in chapter 2. And then when they left Egypt, they came back to Israel and they lived in. Anybody know the town that Jesus' family settled in after they came back from Egypt? Sometimes we say he is Jesus of Bethlehem was where he was born, but where does the area he grew up, the city in where he grew up? Sometimes he's referred to as Jesus of this city. Anna? Galilee's the region. What's the city? It starts with an N. Nazareth. Excellent. Nazareth. Okay. That's where they went back to in chapter 2. They came back and settled in Nazareth, okay, in the region of Galilee. Galilee was a good answer, too. All right, and then Brother Isaac Heil taught last week, and he taught in costume. Who was he dressed up like last week? Anybody remember? No, that's the book we're in, but he was dressed up as one of the people who's mentioned in Matthew chapter 3. Winston? Excellent, John the Baptist. You guys paid attention. Excellent, John the Baptist. He had all that hairiness on him, and he ate some silly sounding food that we wouldn't usually eat, locusts and honey. I like honey. Not sure about the locusts. I'll probably let them go to the other side of the table. All right, and that was last week, Matthew chapter 3. Brother Isaac talked about John the Baptist, and he had a message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he called Jesus the Lamb of God, okay? Now we're up to chapter 4, and that's where I start again. Chapter 4, I'm going to read from the Bible, okay? I'm going to read right there, and then we're going to talk about what we read. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil's going to tempt Jesus, okay? And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Does anybody know what fasting means? You don't eat, okay? You don't eat. Can you imagine not eating for 40 days? Yeah, I could probably use that kind of action, couldn't I, huh? But I don't think I can make it 40 days. I think my record is one day. But Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so he was kind of, I'm not going to call Jesus weak, but I mean, he hasn't had food in 40 days. He's got to be feeling the effects of that. I don't think anybody could go much farther than that to before they did real damage to their health and they wouldn't be able to recover. So Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, okay? And then the tempter came. Who's the tempter? Who's the tempter? Ian? Yep, the devil, okay? Now, keep in mind, boys, this is a hard one for our minds to wrap around, to wrap around our minds, but Jesus is God as if he's not man, but he's man as if he's not God, okay? So he feels human feelings that we feel. He gets hungry. He gets tired, okay? And he's at a, you might call, a vulnerable stage right now. He's just fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and here comes the old devil. And he's going to try to tempt Jesus to try to ruin God's plan of salvation. He's going to try to tempt Jesus. Let's see what happens. All right. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Okay, he knew Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. Jesus was probably feeling kind of hungry. Okay, so he said, "If you're the Son of God," is Jesus the Son of God? Yes, yes, yes. So the devil's like, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Could Jesus have done that? Yeah. Correct, he could have done that. But let's see how Jesus replies. Keep in mind, he replies by using the scriptures. Every time he rebukes the devil's temptation with scripture. Let's see what Jesus says. But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay, so Jesus resists that temptation, okay? Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God," from the word of God. Okay, so Jesus wins that battle. It's a three-part battle. He resists the devil and temptation the first time, okay? The devil says, what can I tempt him with now? So the devil looks all out at the city of Jerusalem, okay? In verse 5, the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle. What does pinnacle mean? The tippy top, the very top of the temple, okay? And he said to him, "If you're the Son of God," he's mocking Jesus here, "if you're the Son of God," obviously Jesus is the Son of God, and the devil knows that, but he's just trying to tempt Jesus and trying to cast doubt. "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you." So the devil says, "If you're the Son of God, just jump off this tall building here and let the angels come and rescue you and keep you from falling and hurting yourself." Now, could have Jesus done that? Yes. But Jesus knows he ought not to do that, okay? And notice how the devil, he's always out there lying. He's always lying. He's the father of lies. If it comes out of the devil's mouth, it's a lie. And he twists scripture, okay? The devil twists scripture there. And he says, "He will command his angels concerning you," which is from Psalms. And he wants Jesus to jump off this tippy top of this high building and let the angels come and catch him and save him. Let's see how Jesus replies. Okay, I'll continue reading what the devil says, okay? "He will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." So the devil says, "Jump, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, the angels will come and keep you from falling." Jesus says again in verse 7, he rebukes the devil with scripture. "As it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test." What does that mean? Okay, what does that mean? That means don't tempt God. Okay? Don't tempt God. Okay? Sure, Jesus could have jumped off the temple building. And sure, he himself could have kept himself up in the air, or he could have had angels minister to him to keep him from falling. But it's not right to tempt God. Why do a foolish thing like that? Is anybody else going to jump off any top of the buildings? Anybody? Anybody going to do that? Really? You better have a parachute. Okay? That would be a silly thing to do. Let me jump off this building and see if God will save me. No, that's a silly thing to begin with. Don't jump off the building. Okay? If you're afraid of heights like me, I probably won't even go up to the top of the building. Yeah. I used to be cool with that. I used to go up the Eiffel Tower and like, ooh, look at that. Now, I can't even look up at it without getting the creeps. I can't even climb the creeps. Yeah. I don't like heights. Okay, so that's two times Jesus was victorious in this temptation battle here. Okay? Now keep in mind, if Jesus gives in to the temptations of the devil and sins, our hope is gone. Okay? Because he's the perfect sinless Savior. He has to live a perfect sinless life in order to go to the cross to pay for our sins. And if he gives in to the devil's temptations, the plan of salvation, that's gone and null and void. All right, here's the third temptation. Again, keep in mind, the devil is the liar in all of this. He's always the liar. Let's see what the devil says in verse 8. The devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, "All of these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." How's that for a temptation? How's that for the boldness of the devil, okay? He says, "Bow down and worship me, Jesus." You think that's going to happen? I pray it doesn't, and I'm glad it didn't, okay? But notice the lie in this, too. The devil says, "Look at all this. If you bow down to me, I'll give it to you." Well, it wasn't the devil's to give in the first place. Whose world is this? Who's the creator? God. God is the creator, okay? It's not the devil's to give. More lies, more lies, more lies coming out of the devil's mouth. All right, so the devil says, all these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. So that's the devil's offer. That's the devil's temptation. Let's see how Jesus replies. Verse 10. Jesus says, "Be gone, Satan. Get out of here." And then he says, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And that applies to Jesus, and that applies to us. Okay? The only one we're to worship and bow down to is God. Come on, girls. We're almost done. Okay, God's the only one we should worship and bow down to. Okay, no matter what the devil tries to sell you or tries to tempt you with, lies to you about, nope, you don't bow down and worship him. You bow down and worship God. Okay, so Jesus used scripture again. He used Deuteronomy 6:13. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So Jesus was successful and victorious in those three temptations in chapter 4 of Matthew. Okay? And then the devil left him, it says in verse 11, "And behold, angels came and were ministering to him." Okay, that was a hard test for Jesus. He was at a vulnerable point. He just fasted for how many days? 40. Anybody think they can do that? Don't do that. You guys are still children. You're still growing. Don't do that. Don't even try. Okay? Okay? Somebody like me could probably pull it off, but... Yeah, well, it's 40 days and 40 nights, so that blows your theory there. All right, so that's the end of that part of chapter 4. Now we're going to talk about Jesus beginning his ministry, okay? So I'm going to skip down to verse 18. "Walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was named Peter." There's a lot of nicknames in the Bible. You can call Peter Peter, you can call Peter Simon, okay? "And his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the sea because they were
fishing.
And that was actually their job. They're fishermen. Okay? So they'd throw this big net that had, think of like a circular net, like a circle, and it had weights on the edges of it, and they would just throw it down in the water, and the weights would make it go down, and any fish that got caught up in that, that's how they caught them. Then they pulled the net back up. That's how they caught fish back then. Okay? But Jesus says to them, verse 8 or 19, and this might sound familiar because we just sang a song. "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men." Well, here's where we get this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Verse 20, immediately they let their nets and followed him. Okay? What does fishers of men mean? When Jesus says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Yes? No. He's saying, "I'll make you not fishers of fish, but I'll make you fishers of men." And you could say men, women, boys, and girls. Yes, Ian? Fishers of men. I think what he means here is, come follow me, and we'll tell others the gospel message. Okay? And instead of gathering fish to ourselves, we'll be gathering men and women and boys and girls to come and hear the gospel message so that they might be saved and go to heaven, okay? I believe that's what he means there. Instead of gathering fish, he's gathering people, okay? People that need to hear the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? So he starts calling disciples. He calls Peter and Andrew. Then verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So we got Andrew, Peter, James, and John. Okay, and they were also fishing in the boat with their dad. Okay, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Okay, so these guys had a job as fishermen, but Jesus said, come follow me, and I'll make you not fishers of fish, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, and together we can minister the gospel to other people. All right. And then chapter 4 ends with 23, 24, and 25, just saying he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was healing diseases. He was healing sick people. So Jesus is getting pretty popular at this point. Okay? A lot of people are following him. Some people are following him for his message he has. Some people are following him just to maybe get healed from an illness or maybe get fed. Okay? But he has an audience. He has an audience and he has a following. Okay, and we're gonna continue on through the book of Matthew in future lessons. But today I just wanted you to learn about how he was tempted by the devil. The devil's always the liar. The devil's always the bad guy. You don't bow down to him. You don't listen to him. You don't follow his lies. Okay, you resist him and have victory over him by serving God. Okay, and the reason this is all important is like I said earlier, the only way we can go to heaven is if we trust that Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins. And he was buried, and he rose again. Okay, that's the only way we can go to heaven, is if we truly, genuinely, sincerely believe that in our hearts. Okay, and that's why we have ABC Kids, so we can teach boys and girls and adults, okay, that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven, okay, by trusting in him. He died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he had no sins. He did not have any sins in his life. That's why he was qualified to do that job, to take our place on the cross. Because we're the guilty ones. We're the ones who've committed sins. We're the ones who've done the bad things. He did no bad things. Okay? Thank you for your attention. We're just about done now. Okay? Let's have a quick word of prayer. Then we might group into learning Bible verse groups. Okay? By grade. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We can come together and study a portion of your word. Please bless each of these boys and girls. Please forgive us of our sins. Continue to bless the remainder of our services tonight. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.